All right.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? New Cyclone Fanatic podcast today. Really excited about this one. We're calling it a Saturday morning podcast. May get posted a little bit earlier, but this is the first Saturday morning podcast of the summer because we have a sponsor. Yes. Iowa Pork, our friends at the Iowa Pork Producers, they've come on board for another year, and we look forward to doing a lot of fun stuff with them, with tailgates, football season. You'll hear about them on the podcast. You'll hear some of their guys on the podcast and gals. So we thank our friends at Iowa Pork. I'm going to absolutely be grilling some pork. It's going to be like 110 all weekend. What goes better with that than a cold beer and a pork loin? That I do not know, my friends. So thanks to Iowa Pork for that. We're in the Carl Chevrolet studio, a.k.a. the Cyclone Fanatic office. We are making a badass studio that will be ready hopefully within a month where we can do some streaming on Facebook Live. And we've got the cool microphones, and we even ordered a special table. So the Carl Chevrolet Studios will be... as the kids say, lit, coming up here within about a month. Jared Stansbury joins me, as does intern Brandon.
You know what else is lit?
What?
Trading in your vehicle at Carl Chevrolet.
Boom! I finally taught you how to do a read. That's great. You nailed it, man.
Thanks.
That's a 10 out of 10. They got a great trade-in deal, don't they?
Yeah, they have a new program at Carl Chevrolet. Carl Chevrolet is Stewart. Or if they don't have the pre-owned vehicle they are looking for on their lot, they will go out and find the vehicle for you.
That's great.
Where That's great. It's just the same as if they did have it on the lot. They'll do an interview with you to understand what you want, give you pricing and all that stuff. And then they're going to go out and find it, and they hope to have it within 10 days. So they want you to let them do all of the hard work. And then at the end of the day, it's still backed by Carl Chevrolet. Because you know what? Carl Chevrolet is your dealer for life. And there's nobody else that you should ever even consider.
Your dealer for life. Carl Chevrolet.
You can learn more about that at carlchevrolet.com or carlchevroletstewart.com, or you could just go out there to the lot, exit 90 in Ankeny at The Rock, or out in Carl Chevrolet.
Intern Brandon is here for his second podcast
of the summer.
We've challenged intern Brandon, who I believe is an elite college football mind.
What do you think of RPOs? Can you break down an RPO for us?
Do you want me to do like a play-by-play? Like, we need more visuals with like, I need a yellow marker and start circling things.
Yeah,
like,
the telestrator.
Mm-hmm.
We need Brandon to do a podcast with Jay Jordan.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
It would only be 6 hours long.
Yeah.
Intern Brandon is nuts. He, like, the couple days on the job, we're sitting in here, and he's like, man, I really feel like Louisiana Monroe is really going to be a pain in the ass for the clones this year. And I'm like, whoa, why? And two, how in the hell do you know that?
Yeah.
Intern Brandon creates, like, fantasy college football power rankings, like positions.
Well, you asked correct? Him. You asked him why, and then he immediately could tell you who Louisiana Monroe's quarterback was. There are two leading receivers.
It
was like, who? What are you talking
about?
They
got this redshirt freshman tight end. You know, he's an elite pass catcher. He needs to work on his blocking a little bit, but they've got a new tight end coach who I think will really help him out a lot. Intern Brandon is a sicko. Like, every like Saturday and Sunday, intern Brandon is sending us text message pictures or in our Slack of like which like Sunbelt team he's studying up on
while drinking his morning coffee.
Yeah.
Sitting by the pool reading about Arkansas State's defensive line.
This is intern Brandon.
I'm glad to be here, honestly. I'm just waiting for Jared to tear me apart with these.
Still don't trust him about Kansas, but hey.
He's still bitter.
We'll get through it.
We got to talk a little bit about the Kansas take.
Oh, I got some Kansas in here.
I'm kind of with you a little bit on Kansas, believe it or not. So we've challenged intern Brandon today on the Saturday morning podcast, CycloneFanatic.com podcast network. Of course, we're courtesy of Iowa Pork. We wanted you to come at Phil Steele. Like, go through the Phil Steele, they call it the Bible, and blow it to pieces. Blow it to smithereens. Find what you disagree with the great Phil Steele on. So, having said that, let's rock. Do you have them in, like, order, or is this just randomly?
It's whatever came to my mind. Like,
okay.
You told me this idea. I opened a document, and it was like, chugged a cup of coffee. Let's roll.
Hold on. Let's tell everybody what we're drinking on the Saturday morning podcast.
Should we go by, like, caffeine? Like, which has the most?
Yeah. Which one's?
Jared,
well, I have the least. 114 milligrams of caffeine.
In a Red Bull.
In a Red Bull, yeah.
What do you got? What are you cracking over there,
I got the
intern Brandon?
Sugar-free Monster. We're looking at about 140 per can.
I got the Celsius Heat, 300 milligrams.
So, in other words, you've doubled up, Brandon. You've nearly tripled up me. You're going to be bouncing off the walls.
And I've already had half a pot of coffee before I came.
You know what the, like, daily recommended amount of coffee is, or, like, caffeine you're supposed to have in a day?
What?
Up to 400 milligrams of caffeine a day appears to be as safe for most healthy adults.
Well, I'm under that with my Celsius.
Yes.
Okay, but what about the half a pot of coffee you already drank?
That's assuming I just keep it to a pot. I usually drink at least a full pot every day. And that's assuming I don't
have
stop by
right
at Smoky Row and get Americano before I go on the air.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Which is probably another 150 in by itself.
I'm going to die. All right, intern Brandon. And I encourage you all to follow intern Brandon on Twitter. Alba Brandon. You should create an intern Brandon one.
Just complete.
I'm
like, just
kidding.
Give hot takes only.
That would be funny.
No, we're just going to keep pumping this one up. What's your first, where you disagree with Phil Steele?
So I stayed in the Big 12 for the first one, because that's the first one that I saw that I was like, no. TCU projected to finish third in the Big 12, and you guys have seen it. I've been hating on TCU in our Slack chat.
Yeah.
I feel like, so Athlon, Jared has Athlon's pulled up over there, and they have Iowa State finishing third, which I feel is like, I would either take Iowa State or Baylor. It's more realistic at third than TCU for me.
So
Athlon has TCU picked at eight and four and sixth, but they also have four teams at 8-4. Mm-hmm. So
it's kind of a toss-up.
It's funny because I actually have a little bit of a monologue written out for my radio show. It's funny, we didn't plan on this. About like what I want from a college football program these days. And this is what I have about Gary Patterson. I swear to God. Okay. Gary Patterson is going through a midlife crisis. It's like he cheated on his wife when he went all spread out with that Big 12 up-tempo look. He's got to get back to his fundamentals, defense. We started to see that a little bit, but I'll be interested to see if he stays true to it. It's like his wife and him are attending church again, and he's going to reap the success of that if he stays on track.
I don't think it's a matter of TCU's defense.
Brandon's moving around too much.
I'm getting all excited. It's the 140 milligrams of caffeine coursing through my veins. I just feel like they have no answers at quarterback.
What about the Duggan kid?
What about Council Bluffs' own?
Council Bluffs.
Hawkeye 10.
As much as I'd love to see him to play, it's like, why? So Matthew Baldwin transfers there, right? Why go and get him eligible if you have four guys already in your quarterback room?
Don't they have Alex Delton, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
they have a lot of quarterbacks.
They have a lot of quarterbacks. They're going to have five guys in their room that are probably capable of playing.
So where do you fundamentally disagree? Like, he's got him at third. Where do you have him?
I'd say probably fourth or fifth.
Okay.
It's not that major of a difference, but I don't see him finishing third.
Okay. Intern Brandon is anti-TCU. What's next?
So I want your guys' opinion. If you had to power rank 1 through 5, the Power 5 conferences,
ooh,
go.
The SEC probably number one.
Yep. Yeah, I would put the SEC 1.
I'd probably put the Big 12 2 or Big 10 2.
I would put the Big 10 2.
Okay. Big 12 3.
But it just – so, like, these get tricky.
Pac-12 5.
Well, where do you put – yeah. Where do you put – like, Clemson's the best team.
Yeah.
But I think the ACC's garbage.
Yeah, I would put the ACC 4 just because everybody else sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I would go SEC, Big 10, Big 12. I don't know. Big 12 could pop the Big 10 this year because I think Texas and Oklahoma are both playoff-type teams.
Yeah.
And then ACC, Pac-12.
So Steele has it, if I remember right, mine wouldn't pull up, but it was SEC 1, Big 10 2. The 3 was Pac-12, ACC 4, Big 12 5.
Come on, Steele.
How do you have the Pac-12 third?
Thank you. That's what made me mad. So I think his toughest conference rankings, the 3, 4, 5 is wrong.
That
I mean, just
how do you justify having the Pac-12
third?
Who? I think Oregon will be a pretty good, won't they?
I don't even know. I really don't know.
Washington State. So, like, the way I looked at it is like this.
Wazoo's going to be good this year.
Yes, they will. They have Gage Grubrud. I think he was from Eastern Washington, and he put up stupid numbers. So if
he's their quarterback?
Yeah, he's going
to. So Leach is going to just turn him into a monster.
If he can do the same thing he did with Minshew. And the thing was, Minshew wasn't even that good at ECU.
Yeah.
And then he turned into a monster. So if he can turn him into a monster.
It's Leach.
Utah's going to be good, apparently.
It does seem like a deep conference if you go that way. Again, like these conference rankings, though, like do you go with the best teams or do you go with the deepest? Because there's a lot of garbage teams in the Big Ten. But I think that they have more depth now. The Big Ten's better in the West this year, in my opinion, than it is the East, which is crazy to think about a couple of years ago.
You wouldn't have said that.
Yeah, but I truly think like 1 through 5 in the Big Ten West is actually a really good league now. So like – and then you look at, like, the Big 12, and my rating for the Big 12 is always, like, there's really no bad teams other than Kansas in the BAS. You know? All those teams have been competitive. So do you lean more with the top-heavy stuff? Like, does Clemson automatically put the ACC into a certain category because they're the best team in the country? Or do we look at the league as a whole?
I looked at the league as a whole because I think the top – so what I looked at is like this. I looked at which teams from – those three conferences made bowl games last year. Pac-12 had 6 teams. Big 12 had 7. Like, I just went 6 wins. And then the ACC had 11.
Well, but they also get 4 non-conference
that are cupcake games. Yeah. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. But it's like...
That's the stupidest thing about college football, that these leagues have different, like some are playing 8 games, some are playing 9. I hate that.
It's unfair. It kind of creates, like, you could play 4 terrible teams and you already got to win 2 of your next 8 games to make a bowl.
Yeah. That's a tough one. I mean, I'm a little bit Big 12 biased, and I think that the grind, like, do you factor in the grind of having to play everybody? Because that's clearly more difficult than not. Everybody knows each other so well. You know, tendencies, these coaches know each other so well.
See, and even think about which one is it, which division is Clemson not in? They're in the Coastal, right?
Yeah, they have, like, the second.
They're best. In the leaders.
They Clemson has the second best team in the ACC on their side in Syracuse.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. But you get, I mean, you think it. Think about the way that other division has been. Even when Florida State was really good, Clemson was usually pretty good. But it was those two were so far, like, head and shoulders above everybody else. Now Clemson will play like Duke or something in the ACC title game, and they'll win 70-7.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, you look at that other division, everybody could be bowl eligible because, like you said, they got to win 2 games. Well, for a school like Duke or North Carolina or whoever, it's not that tough for them to go out and beat, you know, Florida State, as bad as Florida State has been, or some of those Georgia Tech. Hasn't been great.
Intern Brandon, does Florida State make an uptick this year?
They should. They literally had the worst offensive line I've ever seen, and it's –
it's saying a lot for a guy wearing an Iowa State shirt.
I know. I was actually thinking that in my head. But it's like they have talent everywhere. I mean, Alex Hornibrook just transferred in, which is a Wisconsin quarterback. I don't know how great he is. All he did was hand off the ball.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have James Blackman, who's solid when given the chance. You have Cam Akers in the backfield, who is an animal. I mean, he had a really good freshman year.
Cam Akers should have gone to Iowa State.
Is that your
hot take?
Hot take. Mm. It's like they have talent, especially with Briles being the OC. But – I mean, if the offense looks how it looks when Briles can make it look, you know.
You're a big fan of covering up rape?
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Wow. Right on my forehead.
It really is clear.
just so aggressive right at my forehead.
It's the Celsius.
It's going to be like.
Allegedly.
It's going to be like in 1 month, it's going to come out and say those have been like FDA like shut down. No one should be drinking those. There's like 3 chemicals that were found.
That's actually fake news. It says 7 essential vitamins. And it's proven to be healthy for you.
Proven by who? We talked about this.
6 published university studies on the Celsius.
What did you say? It was like Phoenix,
yeah,
Kaplan?
University of Phoenix, Kaplan University, ITT Tech.
AIB in Des Moines.
All right, what's next, intern Brandon?
All right, so as much as I love the small schools, I kind of was caught off guard by this. So Louisiana Lafayette was rated 8th in Phil Steele's running back units, ahead of Arizona State.
I love it.
North Carolina, Oregon, and West Virginia.
Is Louisiana Lafayette the team Iowa State plays?
No, that's
they play UNLV.
Oh,
that was
Monroe.
A whole other thing.
All right. I was going to say, geez, now I'm actually, like, paying attention here.
No,
but if the great Phil Steele has him ranked that high. Well, let's hear what intern Brandon says. We disagree here.
So they're loaded. Like, don't get me wrong. Lafayette's running backs were productive, but they're also playing in the Sun Belt. So it's like, are they really that productive? Like,
it's kind of like if my friend Eric Murphy once said, he's an old sportscaster. He goes, if you're a sportscaster in Montana, are you really a sportscaster if nobody watches?
That's actually really sad. I feel bad for those guys.
Oh, dude, the absolute worst jobs in the world. Like, if you want to get into this business, you most of the time you were lucky you didn't have to go to some hole.
Yeah.
I mean, I did, but at least I was at a good station, like, where people, like, they actually had some money and they treated
and they cared
you okay.
And
yeah, like, and I was from there, so it was. But those guys that have to go
as
to,
long
like,
as you don't piss off Chuck Grassley or Steve King.
No, Steve King's the one who I pissed off.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I wear that as a badge of honor. True story, I was once suspended because of Steve King, but that's a whole other deal. The guys who have to go to, like, Idaho.
Yeah.
And be in work for basically like $16,000 a year and work 70-hour weeks as sports guy. That's the way most guys have to do it, and gals. It is an absolutely brutal business.
I mean, think about some of the people that have come through here. That's probably how they feel about coming to Iowa.
Well, I mean, yeah, but then most people, when they get here, they like it, though.
Yeah.
That's why it's hard to get jobs here, because people generally stay.
Yeah.
But anyways. Okay, so you're upset with the Louisiana Monroe running back rankings.
Lafayette.
Mm-hmm. You are heavily disagreeing with Mr. Steele.
Mainly because the whole sum up factor is like, yes, Trey Regis, Elijah Mitchell, both those guys are pretty much
two
over 1,000.
Two names I will never remember.
Never remember.
Elijah
ever.
Mitchell, I mean, keep an eye on him in the Heisman, but go ahead.
Dark horse. No, it will be like, they're both like over 1,000 yards, or pretty close to. So, and then their third running back was like, I think he ran for like 750. So, like, their
production. How many times do they run per game?
A lot.
A lot, yeah.
But they were really productive, but the way I look at it, it's like, so I combined Regis and Mitchell's stats. They went for 353, like, attempts, 2,100 yards, and 21 touchdowns. The main one I had was them being ahead of Arizona State. You have Eno Benjamin in that backfield, who had 300.
Old friend alert.
Oh, yeah. He went to Iowa for a while.
Well, he didn't go. He was committed.
Well, yeah, he was committed.
Then he went on a visit, and Kirk told him not to come. Allegedly.
Yeah. But Brian Ferentz went on cake, but they don't do that stuff.
No.
If you have an offer to Iowa, it is a true offer. They never screw around like that.
Right. So, yeah, he's an animal. He went for 300 carries, 1,600 yards, and 16 touchdowns. That one guy is almost just as good as both their stats combined. And I know there's different ways to look at it, but
I mean, you're going through the Phil Steele, intern Brandon. It's like a Sunday afternoon. You're sipping on your coffee, and these running back rankings are egregious because of where Louisiana Monroe is.
Lafayette.
I think they don't even go as Lafayette anymore. I think it's just Louisiana.
Yeah, the University of Louisiana.
No, let's be honest. They're always Lafayette.
The Raging Cajuns.
Yeah. All right, so intern Brandon is not a fan of the Louisiana Lafayette running back rankings.
Mm-mm.
Okay. What's next?
So
that's the best one by far.
This is where things get a little dicey.
Oh.
I led into it.
We haven't even gotten dicey yet.
Oh.
Okay.
So Phil Steele's preseason's All-Americans. So I used a lot of cross-referencing. Things got a little weird.
Yeah. What happens?
2018, his worst picks. He had Felton Davis in his preseason All-American. He only had 776 yards a season before.
Who is that?
Felton Davis, Michigan State guy.
Okay.
Now, he was hurt, but last year, so he didn't obviously make it. He had Jared Stidham.
I know Jared Stidham, former Baylor.
Yeah, another
now,
Baylor.
Yeah. He didn't do anything wrong. He was just a player.
Mm-hmm.
He's now
Well, I think there were plenty of
Auburn.
That. some of those guys actually did some wrong things, too.
Well, I know, but I'm just going off of the Pepper Hamilton report, and Jarrett Stidham's not implicated in anything.
Remember Sean Oakman? Whatever happened to that guy?
He's probably in jail.
Yeah, now that I think about it, he might probably be in prison.
Yeah.
For a long time.
So, okay, where were we?
So, yeah, I was going through. He had in 18, he had Jarrett Stidham as that quarterback, or like an All-American quarterback. He finished as the 42nd quarterback in passing yards. Not even close. He had Javon Durante, FAU receiver, as a preseason All-American. He finished 64th in receiving yards the following season.
Okay.
He had Penny Hart. Finished 135th the following year as a receiver in yards. I'm like,
you need to tell us where these people play.
Penny Hart, Georgia State.
Okay.
Javon Durante, FAU.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Dude,
okay.
Phil Steele is like digging deep, too, for his All-American team.
Yeah,
what kind of person thinks that they're putting like FAU receiver on the All-American team?
Well, I could see just like from purely statistical standpoint why you would do something like that. The Stidham one, I actually have some sympathy for because I think I put $10 on him for the Heisman last year just because he had incredible odds and it's Gus Malzahn.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I did that.
And that was probably the most.
No, indeed it did not. That was $10 set on fire. Yeah. Okay.
You still have that $20 you won from Vegas, though.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you put that in your...
I don't. It's in my Roth 401k. It's in an index fund, and it's grown, by the way. It's now worth, like, $22.
Hey, now you can take your $22 and throw it on Brock Purdy to win the Heisman.
Wonder what his odds will be.
I'm going to guess not very good.
He'll be on the board.
Do you think so?
I mean, he'll... With the other category...
I think
it'll probably be like a plus like 2,000.
Won't everybody be on the board in the other category?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He'll be on the board.
I think Phil Steele, I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but had him in like the dark horse kind of section.
I was at a bar a couple weeks ago. Oh, man, I wish I had the guy's name because he was really cool. He listens to the podcast all the time. It was one of the dads of one of the freshman offensive linemen, and it was at Carl's.
Oh, was it? Yeah, no, okay. Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
He comes up to me, and he's like, hey, Williams, like your work.
Man, Purdy's, I've talked to him a bunch of times.
Purdy's winning the Heisman. I mean, this kid, you know, he's around the house. He's got that look in his eye. Brock Purdy's winning the Heisman this year. And I was like, wow, that'd be really incredible. So there you have inside information from a player's parent that he believes...
At Carl's place.
But he believes Brock Purdy is not only capable of winning the Heisman, but that he's been working hard and he has that look in his eye. You take that to the bank.
I think I've talked to that guy before, too, and I actually think that he said something similar to me as well.
Probably. I was really disappointed.
Yeah, I know who it is.
That Taylen Horton Tucker didn't get drafted by the 76ers like his uncle told me and my dad that he would. If that would have come true, that would have been so great. You've heard that story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I told you that story,
you came and told me right after it happened. You're like, hey, yeah. I heard Taylen Horton Tucker's going to the Sixers.
My dad and I are in Kansas City. We walk out of Johnny's. It's like Wednesday before the tournament. This guy grabs my dad. He's like, hey, are you a Cyclone fan? And my dad's like wearing all Cyclone gear. He's like, yeah. And he goes, do you like Taylen Horton Tucker? My dad goes, well, hell yeah, I do. And this guy goes, well, you better enjoy him this weekend because he's gone. He's going to the 76ers. The 76ers are going to draft him.
I imagine that if he's that willing and open to give up that kind of information, they're probably not giving him very good information.
I think it was proven that Taylen Horton Tucker didn't have the best information. Or he could have had that just Rich Paul just like promise. Like,
yeah.
You're going somewhere. Like, we're going to take care of you.
Just so happened that he went where everybody that is repped by Rich Paul is going.
Unbelievable.
J.R. Smith.
Okay, intern Brandon, where are we arguing with Phil Steele now?
So, yeah, I talked about
we're still talking about the All-America team.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about his whiffs in like last year's. So he has this year's preseasons. He has K.J. Hill, who's an Ohio State receiver. Super talented guy, but like last year's stats, he went 70 receptions, 885, and 6 touchdowns. Those are good numbers. But he lost one of the greatest passers that Ohio State's probably ever had. Like, I'm not going to say he's the best, but, I mean, he threw for 4,800 yards and 50 touchdowns. And then you bring in Justin Fields, who went 4-for-13 in the spring game for a little over 100 yards, and 98 of those yards came on one play.
On 4-for-13 passing, he had over 100 yards?
Yeah, 98-yard reception. So, like, I think Fields is a little similar to JT Barrett, and there's no way that KJ Hill improves those numbers. So,
yeah, one thing I've, as you're going through the All-American teams, the one thing I've kind of picked up on Steele over the years is when you get to, like, the third, and he does, like, the fourth team.
Yeah, he does a fourth. And
like, he's just going off of stats.
Yeah.
He's, like, digging deep.
Yeah.
Like, looking for guys that it's, like, if they did somehow make the All-America team, he could sit there and be like, hey, I called that one. Mm-hmm. Called that one. Told you guys.
Maybe, too. I mean, I know he talks to all the coaches. I mean, maybe he's
hearing some things.
Maybe he's doing that. But, yeah, it seems to me – because I've always thought, like, there's a couple curious Iowa State ones in there.
Well, it's like he had Will McDonald on his –
Oh, he did?
Yeah, on his All-Big 12 team, I'm pretty sure.
I haven't picked up his magazine yet.
He has Will McDonald on the All-Big 12 team.
Will McDonald
which
is
actually the, might happen.
Will McDonald's the most interesting player on Iowa State's roster this year. Now, don't go off and tell, like, Randy Peterson and anybody that, because I'm going to do a big column on that.
You already know Randy's listening.
Oh, I know. I love Randy, but I want to do this column. And I think he's the most interesting player on the roster. What are they going to do with him? What's his height? Not physically, but like how good can he be?
What's his ceiling?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. It's fascinating.
You've been out of the game a little bit, so I know you.
I have been out the game. I'm a little rusty. That's why I'm drinking my Celsius Heat here on a Friday morning.
They did not pay for this spot.
They did not.
So another one I disagree with is Keyshawn Vaughn. I mean, he was fourth team, so like you just
said. Who's he play for?
I think he transferred from Illinois, but now he plays for Vanderbilt.
Oh, okay.
And he had a good year last year.
No receiver from Vanderbilt is going to be on the All-America team.
Zero chance.
He was...
no chance at all.
He was solid. Their O-line's ranked 11th, though, in the SEC, so it's like...
He's a
running back.
Oh, okay. I thought he was a receiver.
No, he's a running back, so I think he ran for like 1,200 yards last year. I just don't see him making an All-American effort. And then another one that kind of segues off that is that Phil Steele had two Clemson and two Alabama wide receivers as preseason All-Americans.
I think that's probably largely predicated on the quarterback situation.
Absolutely.
Well, Judy's really good. Judy makes sense. He's really good.
But he had T. Higgins second team, Justin Ross fourth team, Judy first, Ruggs fourth. And I found, like, there's no way that both those receivers can be that productive to get All-American status. I understand one. Like, I'll take Judy, and then I could take Higgins or Ross, but there's no way that you have both those guys. And then on Clemson, you have Etienne in the backfield still. So it's like one of those guys, sure, but there's no way that two from each team make it.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Is it the Celsius in your brain?
I don't like to BS y'all if I don't know. I have no opinion on that. I don't know how I possibly could. This is why we love you, intern Brandon.
I'm sure AJ Epinesa is on there purely for his performance in the yellow uniforms video. Phil Steele saw that. Man, he looks good, man. He's got 15 sacks this year.
Phil Steele's like, I have inside information that on October 12th, Iowa's bringing back the winged jerseys. AJ Epinesa is my first pick in the draft.
Well,
God,
like,
I had so much fun screwing with
I know you did.
I saw that.
It's just, like, hilarious to me, the ones that don't understand that I'm just screwing with them. And they just take the bait. I actually think they're fine uniforms. I have no problem with
them. I actually liked them. I thought they were all right. You don't like them,
right. They're all right. They need to wear, like, black plant. Like,
I love their helmets. The helmets are sweet with the stripe down the middle.
Yeah. And the
I just, like, it's just.
Yellow face mask.
God. Because I was on the air while I was doing this. And I was like, if you're listening to my radio show, I was like, I'm totally going to screw with the people on Twitter here.
Isn't gold Iowa State's color, though?
That's not gold. That's yellow. It's like this, like, garbage
yellow.
It's
like mustard yellow. They look like a bottle of mustard. I liked one guy said that they looked like a rotten banana.
Anyways, we were on the air, and my initial reaction to him was, I like him. I go, however, I'm going to troll Iowa fans on Twitter and just watch the reaction, and sure enough, here it comes.
What'd you say, like, call them Ronald McDonald's?
Yeah, because they always say that about Iowa State.
That one year they did wear the ones that looked like Ronald McDonald's.
But I was just mocking them.
The EJ Bibbs game.
Yeah. Alright, what do we got next, intern Brandon?
So speaking of Iowa, Steele has Iowa finishing second in the West, and I think they're going to actually finish fourth.
Oh, wow. Okay, why?
I probably will take some heat for this, but
I'd say
I know, but you know, there's like a few people that'll be like, but I have
there are Iowa fans that listen to our
podcast.
That's
what I'm saying.
I think and transcribe the things that we say.
Oh yeah, and then they put it on like their message boards or something.
Yeah, hey, I think Fitzy's told me that before.
If you're doing that right now, hey, tell everybody hello from the Psych One Fanatic guys.
Yeah, so I have Wisconsin and Minnesota finishing ahead of Iowa.
Wow, you got Minnesota's an interesting pick this year.
Their offense is so loaded.
They finally don't have a freshman quarterback for Fly.
No.
So, like, the first year that they haven't had a rookie. Okay, so you got – I think Wisconsin sucks. Have you looked at crossover schedules?
Yes, it's brutal.
Yeah.
But the only thing keeping them afloat for me is just Jonathan Taylor is an animal. And that's another – we won't get into that bold prediction, but
if Iowa State had hired PJ Fleck instead of Matt Campbell, would he be on the hot seat going into this year?
Who, Fleck?
Yeah.
Like if he was at Iowa State?
Yeah. They'd had the same sort of trajectory that they've had at Minnesota.
I've just heard a lot of people don't like Fleck.
I was saying, I think that PJ Fleck would have rubbed a lot of people
the wrong way
very quickly here.
So it's funny you mentioned that because I wrote about Fleck in my college football thing for tonight's show. I'll read it to you. It's why I have a serious question about PJ Fleck's longevity at Minnesota. He's like a mini Harbaugh at a way worse program, just wears everybody out. Rowing the boat is fun in the MAC, but it's just a fad if you can't win with it in the Big Ten.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm saying. His shtick would have gotten old quick.
It gets really old.
Yeah.
And he just wears everybody out around him.
Would you see what, like...
I know guys who have worked for him who... Like, they swear he's the devil. Like, not as, like, a bad person, but, like, to work for, he's the worst, I guess. Because it's just...
I feel like there's a lot of flash and not very much substance there.
Yeah.
Where he's just going to constantly be saying, row the boat. And you're going to be like, coach, like, what should we actually do on second and nine right now? He's like,
row the boat.
Row the boat, fellas. Let's go. Row the boat.
This is what I have about Wisconsin. I can't stand Paul Chryst as a coach. Mm-hmm. Not personal, obviously. I don't know him. Paul Chryst is the guy who the homecoming queen settled on out of high school. She should have looked around more and dated, had a few glasses of wine with some strangers, and had a little fun. But she was from a conservative family who frowned upon fraternizing. She lacked life experiences and picked the first guy who looked at her. That's Wisconsin and Paul Chryst.
Who's Matt Campbell?
I don't have Matt Campbell on here. I would say Matt Campbell is... It's like the movie She's All That, where it's kind of the nerdy art girl who comes from the MAC, but then Freddie Prinze Jr. takes the glasses off and gets her a makeover, and you realize she's super hot, and she's the chick you want to be married to the rest of your life. Because she's humble, and she's still hot.
Anytime that you get Freddie Prinze Jr. involved, then you know that the magic is going to be made.
Because, like, if Fleck would have some success, that'd be, like, entitled supermodel type success.
Yeah.
Where Campbell's more like art student.
Still grinding.
Know. Yeah.
Where does Freddie Prinze Jr. rank on your 90s actors power rankings?
He's up there. I'd have to think about that one a little more. But
we'll flesh that out for another Saturday pod.
I don't watch a lot of movies, so... Yeah.
But that's why I'm saying I feel like your rankings would be phenomenal.
I think Iowa or Nebraska wins the West.
Yeah. I mean,
I have Nebraska.
Yeah, I have Nebraska.
I'm sorry. I actually did this last week. I think Northwestern's right there, too.
Yeah.
I love the West
is a total.
I think it's Iowa, shoot. Northwestern, and Nebraska. I would probably. God, I hate picking Nebraska, but I think that they're going to surprise a lot of people.
I'm going to go get a do. You guys keep talking amongst yourselves.
What's the caffeine?
Yeah,
in the Mountain Dew.
We got to add that up, too.
Yeah.
So, okay, I don't want to pick Nebraska either, but I don't even know if it's going to surprise people at this point. There's been so much hype around Nebraska, how everyone's like the dark horse to pick the West, that it's like no one's going to be that surprised if they actually go and do it, in my opinion. But as much as I also don't like PJ Fleck, I mean, did you see what Jerry Kill said about him?
No.
Like, there was a huge beef where it's like, I'm going to probably end up misquoting this, but like PJ Fleck said... something along the lines of the culture needs change. Like right when he came in, culture needs change. The culture was bad or something. And that's like a direct shot at.
Yeah. Anytime that a coach talks about culture, he's ripping the guy before him.
Yeah. So they obviously don't like each other. But if Minnesota is going to do anything, this has to pretty much be the year. Rashad Bateman, Tyler Johnson, they have four like seriously awesome running backs. Like if they're going to do anything, it's this year. But we'll
50
see.
More, 54 milligrams, by the way.
Okay, so add that up.
I'm at 158.
Yeah, you're still half of a Celsius.
You got me. You leaped over me.
Okay, what's next?
We're going back to the small conference. Actually, this one isn't even that small conference. The AAC.
The American.
Yeah, completely wrong.
Now without UConn.
Yes. Well, RIP.
Like next year, doesn't it start?
Yeah. But I mean, they're lame duck.
What are they going to do? Are they going to go independent? Like, what are they?
I don't know yet.
Yeah, I think they will. They need to just drop their program.
So, intern Brandon is upset with the American power rankings from Phil Steele.
Yeah, who they have picked to win both sides. So, they have Cincinnati winning the East and Memphis winning the West.
I'm a Memphis guy.
Okay.
Was Jay Norvell still there?
Yeah, Jay Norvell's an elite coach.
Wait, is that right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jay Norvell.
Okay, so
yeah.
What do you got, intern Brandon?
I have Houston winning the West. Because they're going to run the table.
That could be.
Yeah,
that's fine.
About that. Yeah,
that's fine. I'm not going to kill you for that.
And I think I have UCF winning the East over Cincy, but it's going to be tough. Just because, I mean, Brandon Wimbush transferred there from Notre Dame.
UCF has to fall off at some point without the elite Scott Frost. I mean, Scott Frost is the best coach in all of college football.
But they didn't exactly take a dip. It's true. All this is true. They didn't exactly take a dip,
Yeah, it's because they still had all of Scott Frost guys. Once Scott Frost is out of there, I mean, they're going to drop off.
So you like Scott Frost?
Oh, he's the best coach we've seen in college football in the last 15 years.
They should have hired Bobby Newcomb as their new coach after Scott Frost left.
Yeah, Frost over Saban. I mean, it's easy.
I honestly don't know, Brandon.
Well, I don't. It's because I have so much faith in Houston.
I'd go off of coaches. Mm-hmm. And... like, I think Norvell's the best coach in that league.
Better than Dana?
Ben Holgorsen? Yeah, that was my...
Yeah. Yeah, he is better than Dana. Absolutely.
Better than... Wait, is... Army's not actually in that league.
Swear to God, if Campbell leaves tomorrow, if Campbell leaves tomorrow, I could have Holgorsen or Jay Norvell, I'd take Norvell. I really would. I don't think it's that controversial. Like, I've seen what Holgorsen could do at a marginal Big 12 job, and it's okay. It's fine. But I think West Virginia has some inherent advantages that Iowa State doesn't. Like, if he was only that there, what would he do here? I would take Norvell.
If Matt Campbell left today, I'd want Jeff Monken.
If Norvell walked in and had, like, fan support like Iowa State does, he would think that it's Christmas Day compared to what he gets in Memphis.
Yeah, true.
Man, I don't want Holgorsen. Stick a fork in him.
I don't think you heard what I said about Monken, but that's fine.
He was all pissed off about Holgorsen. Yeah.
I think Holgorsen I'm not a Holgorsen.
We'd have to take back all those shirts. Oh, man, that would be a bad deal.
He is. I've always said this about Holgorsen. I've said this for damn near a decade. Quality X's and O's, not a leader of men.
All right, what do you got next?
That's fair, yeah. Go off that. Jesus. You know, like, Holgorsen drinks, like, 3 Red Bulls a day.
That's still that, barely that, is more than like, a Celsius.
It's like
he's
one
a huge
Celsius.
Caffeine guy.
What a little bitch.
Let's see. Oh, so Steele has 2 a win.
How many more do we have here?
Two.
Okay,
two
cool.
Okay, so 2 for Heisman. I have Ellinger winning the Heisman. That's kind of mainly just opinion, and I could obviously 2 makes sense, but.
Hasn't all of these things been your opinion?
I guess so, Jared. I'm going to have to chug this monster to get back on your level.
I'm just stating a fact.
Who's your Heisman pick?
Who's my Heisman pick? Probably Trevor Lawrence.
Who's yours?
I mean, that would be the easy route to go. He's the best player in college football.
Adrian Martinez. That's mine. I'm changing my mind.
Let me think. I haven't really thought about this stuff much.
I thought you were a big Texas guy.
I am a big Texas guy. I think he's there. I think he's in New York. I think Hurts could be in New York, too. But I don't necessarily know if either one of them wins. I mean, Lawrence is clearly the guy. I mean, Nate Stanley, if he's not there. But,
AJ Epenesa.
Who's the... Is Nate Easley, did he
yeah,
graduate?
He's gone.
Okay, then yeah.
Nick Easley.
Okay, let's move on. I'm just being mean now.
We're being squirrely after all this caffeine.
So much.
We have a meeting in half an hour.
Yeah, we're meeting with this new podcast lady, yeah. I swear we're not drinking alcohol either. It's just the Celsius.
Which is going to get shut down by the FDA in like 2 weeks.
After I die of a heart attack. I hope you guys have been paying attention the last couple of years. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, that's my... Let's see. I'm going to look through the list to make sure. Yeah, this is my last one. It's the Kansas one.
Yeah!
Jared's like, I hate this
podcast. Bring it hard.
Okay, Steelers, Kansas obviously finishing 10th. They're going to finish 7th.
Such an easy prediction.
He's got to finish in 7th.
If they win
12.
If they win 6 games, they have to finish not 10th.
Who finishes 10th then?
All right. It
tries to bring us back in.
I can see where you're at on Kansas. I really can. Here, this is my take on the Kansas Jayhawks, all right, in defense of intern Brandon. So, I don't think that Beatty was as bad as people think. I think Beatty was hired because he was an easy guy to fire. Think Charlie Strong at Texas on a much lower scale. Beatty was brought in to clean up the trash. He's taking out the trash, cleaning up the trash. He's sweeping the garage, okay? The garage is clean now, and you bring in a solid... I think Les Miles, from an Iowa State standpoint, I'd rather like Les Miles be at Kansas than Jay Norvell, put it that way. Because Les Miles doesn't really scare me to creep into the top half of the Big 12 to become real competition with Iowa State. But I think he's good enough to solidify them with the players that they have. He's good enough to get some guys in there. And here's where I'm with intern Brandon slightly. Is the Big 12 is in a state of turmoil right now with its coaches. There's a lot of new cultures in there, and I think that you get midway to the season, Kansas is going to be, instead of like a 17-point underdog in a lot of these games, they're going to be an 8-point underdog, and then who knows. I don't know if they get to 6, but intern Brandon, I'm with you in the sense that I don't think it's like a stone-cold lock that they finish last in the league. Boom.
Who do you have finishing last in the league?
West Virginia.
He's a good coach.
I know. No, I like him as a hire. It's just they're losing. So, like Marcus Sims just transferred out. They're like one of their best defensive players transferred out. Like
didn't Kenny Robinson transfer?
Yeah, that's yeah. I'm talking about. Yeah.
What about Tech? Where do you have Tech? Matt Wells, friend of the podcast.
That puts some pressure on.
It's okay.
I have Tech. I have K-State 9th, and I have Tech.
Yeah. I think Kansas beats Kansas State this year.
I just wish they could have done it against the Vampire. I wish the Vampire could have gone out like by going 0-9 in the league.
Then he wouldn't have gone out. He would have came back.
Again, I won't like go to the extent you did by picking Kansas to win 6.
Yeah, it's over.
But I do – like what's their over-under? Do you know?
I think they were set at like 3 wins. That's what like
– I would play the over.
Put them at 3. Mm-hmm.
There you go. There's your play. There's your first play for the...
Man, I got a couple of locks in the Big Ten.
Once the betting opens.
Northwestern's at 6.5.
Wow.
That is a god-darn
That's free money.
Lock.
Yeah.
They're always... If you go... I would bet... I don't have the stats in front of me. I would bet if you go like past the last 10 years in college football, the most underrated team in college football would be Northwestern.
Yeah, they're going to be...
They're always underrated under Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm.
They're going to be sneaky this year. They have the Clemson transfer, Hunter Johnson.
Yeah, you damn right they do. And they got all those other guys back. They won 9 games last year.
Yeah.
Why in the hell is their number 6.5? I don't understand it.
Maybe they know something you don't.
Potentially.
They're getting comfortable in that new building.
Whoever
All
they
of a sudden,
is,
they feel like they're not the cute little underdog
anymore.
I
don't really care what quote-unquote they think. I need to know what intern Brandon thinks because he's smarter than they are. And he thinks that Northwestern's over 6.5.
How did the bets go that I told you in Vegas when you texted me?
I think I did. I did really well. I won. I cleaned up in the sports book those couple days.
And invested it all.
And then put them all
one day I had one day I had action on 12 Major League Baseball games.
How many Major League Baseball games have you watched that aren't the Atlanta Braves?
None. Literally none. The best one, though, so I was out there, it was during one of the NBA final games. It was game four, I think, when Toronto won in Golden State. So I had Moneyline Toronto.
They did that three times, didn't they?
Okay, but it was the first one.
Okay.
Or game three. Okay. That's what it was. And I had like four player props going.
Yeah, I remember you like sent two, me those. Yeah. Yeah.
I cleaned up on that game. It was great.
It's like Draymond Green points and rebounds. Yeah. Under
Kawhi Leonard,
or
like Kawhi Leonard those, had something.
Those are great because you're sitting there and you're like, you have to like count, you know, like during the game. It was a lot of fun. We were sitting in Otzelberger's backyard, just like Carper and I had like a piece of paper and we're just keeping tabs on Draymond. It was awesome. All right. That's it.
That does
Brandon.
It. That does it.
What do you want your next project to be?
Who do you want to challenge next?
Yeah. So you think Phil Steele is full of crap?
I guess so. I can't believe I disagree to that. I hope he like.
He's a great guy.
I'm sure he is. Like his stuff's great, but
he won't care. You still gave him your $14 for the magazine.
I bought the online one. It was a little cheaper.
Oh, really?
Damn. Yeah, I bought the online one too, but I'll probably buy a hard copy as well.
I'm a hard copy.
I need a hard copy, but I wanted to get it early.
Yeah, I did it so that I could put an article out about it.
Yeah, I'm a. Oh, by the way, I've got a gift for you.
For me?
Yeah. It's another hard copy of something. Got you an AP style book.
I have one.
Guess Brandon can have.
I'll have another one, I guess. Nice. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think I have one.
All right, then Jacqueline can have it. I think Jesus, guys. This is how, like, I Christmas morning, your parents get you, like, a new video game. Well, I already have 10 of them. I guess I'll use them.
Hey, the AP style book does change every year. It's like the new NCAA football.
That's why I bought it.
I get the new NCAA football. I'm like, hey, man, I have the last 10.
No, you
10.
Don't, because that O'Bannon ruined it for everybody. I did read O'Bannon's book. He makes some valid points. But
still pissed about it.
Intern Brandon, did you ever hear about when Ed O'Bannon came on my radio show?
No, did you?
First question I asked is if he had any regrets from ruining my childhood and like the rest of all these other people.
How did he take that? Has he met you like prior to that radio show?
No, it was the first
thing you
literally the first thing I ever said to him. And he first of all, I guess like I'm not the first person who said that. Secondly, he was not amused. Like, he did not play along with it. It was not that fun.
Yeah, he quickly was. I remember listening to it where just, he quickly shut that down.
Oh yeah, and he was just annoyed.
Well, and you could tell that he had been asked that before
many times.
To where it's like he took it in stride, you know. But at the same time, it's like this guy's definitely not here to like play the game.
No,
he's definitely here to say screw you, dude.
This is not like a WWE guy coming into the studio and like me doing like a.
You should get Sam Keller on. He's the other guy that got it. You remember him?
I do not remember him.
He was like the other dude who was involved in that.
Okay. Did he write a book?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I'm not sure what Sam Keller's doing now. He broke his collarbone playing against Texas in whatever that was, like 2007 for Nebraska. Bill Callahan's last year.
Bill Callahan. Is he still coaching?
Yeah, I think he's with like the Redskins or something. Yeah. He's somebody's offensive coordinator. He's one of the best offensive coordinators in the NFL.
Good stuff. All right, boys. This was a fun Saturday podcast. Remember to go out and buy some Iowa pork. Go buy a car.
Trade your car in.
Trade your car in. And try and stay warm. Or cool, that would be. This week.
I don't think anybody will have problems staying
try
warm.
Stay cool. Take care, everybody. Have a great weekend.